Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Video games. Welcome once again to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me as always,
Ben Fennell. Hello, filthy animals. And joining us, rounding out the trio,
Guten Morgen, Video Garmin. I didn't have time to Google what is the correct German term for video games.
And you were staring at your phone, so I assume you were trying to Google it feverishly.
I typed in translate English to Ger.
Okay.
I reckon you should say that every episode from now on. It should be good morning video games.
Yes.
Good morning, filthy animals.
Sure.
And then, what was it? Guten Morgen.
Video Garmin.
Video Garmin.
Or it's maybe like a fun different language every time.
Oh, okay. Oh,
here we go.
Yeah. Cool, yeah.
It'll definitely never get racist.
Great, because you don't have to do the accent.
Yes, I do.
If you were to say now that you would have to do a different language every week, which one would you be dreading the most? In terms of potential racism factor.
I'm typing the word video games into a translator still.
Who says that men can't multitask? A man who struggles to do one thing at a time.
Video spiel.
Nice.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I actually prefer video Garmin. Now, how do we go about getting this changed? Do you know any Germans?
I know one, Angela Merkel. Yeah. I don't know if she'll be helpful in any way.
She's in a fairly powerful position.
I think. I haven't spoken to her for a while. What's she been up to?
Well, she's on top.
Hold on, let me just quickly check her Facebook. I'll see what she's been up to. Whoa, holy fuck. I could get a deal on some sunglasses if I act now.
Oh,
somebody tagged me in a photo. Thank God for doing that.
Oh.
I went through and added everyone I could find on Facebook by the name of Austin Powers at some point.
Yes. I think you might have talked about that on this podcast already.
Well, I went through and deleted them because it ended up just getting depressing.
After about 3 or 4 years, they got a bit grating.
Yeah, they were fun in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
Then at some point we realized like, ooh, they're problematic. Has anyone talked about Austin Powers being problematic yet?
I did a live reading of the Austin Powers 1 script, and some of the cast certainly did find it problematic.
Oh, right.
Yes.
How strict did you have to be with sticking to the script? Because that's a great thing to do. Get people in to do a live comedy reading of a Probo movie and say, at absolutely no point are you allowed to deviate from the script or give any commentary.
Pretty exact. It was abridged, but the lines that were there were certainly accurate.
Who abridged it?
Friend of the show, Timothy Clark. I couldn't imagine a task he'd enjoy more than editing down Austin Powers 1.
What a task.
Yeah. If you take out all the jokes, it's actually a pretty short movie.
Yeah.
And you get the great story across.
Yeah.
I prefer the idea that he doesn't know that you can actually just, you know, there's places on the internet to find it. So he's just sitting there watching it on DVD, pausing every 8 seconds to then spend about a minute and a half typing out dialogue and sort of making the call on the fly like, I reckon I can kind of leave this bit by the wayside.
Yeah. Well, I was Basil Exposition. Hello, Austin!
Oh, this would have been a nightmare to pretend.
You thought the problematic stuff was bad. You didn't know this guy was going to be doing this shit voice for the whole thing.
Everyone kept yelling, "This is terrible." And you were like, I guess it is a bit problematic, yeah. I guess that is the reason you're yelling that out.
You're pointing at me and saying this is a problem. I think you must mean the underlying subtext of
the character of Basil Exposition. Very, very... very offensive towards older gentlemen in positions of power.
Yes, yes. And they are the true victims.
What were we talking about? German.
Video games.
Yeah.
Video Garmin.
Yes, video spiel.
Speaking of old men, did you know Gammon has become an insult for old white men in Britain?
Yes!
Yeah.
I saw this. This is a new meme thing.
Yeah, one of those meme things. Look at you, you fucking Gammon.
Hello! Hello, Adam.
Not getting.
Because it's like ham. It's like old ham or something.
Yeah, man. Explain it. That'll make it funnier. I'm feeling sassy today.
Did you have
sassy mood?
Did you have fun doing the bit, or was it edited out where he goes, "Damn it, man, that's my mother."
That was edited out.
That was edited out?
Yeah.
For time constraints, or because it's like kind of, I guess, like saying, you know, oh, this woman looks like a man.
I think that maybe.
Right. Although it's the film version of the Aerosmith song.
Yeah, right. I wouldn't trust Tim to have the sensitivity to understand that, though.
Was the long shitting scene still in there?
Yeah, I believe it was. Cool. Pissing. Right.
And how'd you do that on stage?
Pissing. He's evacuating.
It's a bit where he's like getting choked out while he's on the toilet.
Oh, number two.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was in it. That was still in it. Yeah.
Wow, it's got, I never realized this, but it's got a great piss gag and a great shit gag.
It's got everything.
Has there ever been a movie in cinema history that's dared to do both and gotten away with it?
Have you seen Austin Powers Goldmember?
He said gotten away with it.
Beyonce got away with being in that movie. Yes. No one ever brings that up anymore. They're always like, yeah, it's the best woman in the world. Oh, you mean the fucking bit player in Goldmember?
She was good in Goldmember, though.
The song that she
that
did
sounded
for
like an agreement noise.
The song that she did
my
for
my phone just
good.
Buzzed and yes. I got a message from my other friend Beyonce, Angela Merkel and Beyonce, my two friends. I haven't spoken to Beyonce since in a while.
Okay.
What's she been up to?
How long?
You just said that she'd successfully navigated the trials and tribulations of being in Goldmember to become a...
Yeah. Did you stop talking successful. To her after Goldmember?
I did.
You hated it so much.
Right.
I did. Me and Jay-Z hadn't... Oh, I can't be bothered with this.
There is an article, I think maybe on Vice, about how like Beyonce surely must regret having been in Goldmember.
Right.
Like she must just, you know, everything else, just such a pretty flawless kind of spotless track record for her. Mm. That must just pop into her head and she think, ugh.
I don't know.
Boy.
I think you could justify it as like the money I got paid for that helped fund studio time for X album.
And whatever, people were into that movie at the time.
Yeah.
It didn't take long for them to stop being into those movies, but it irony hadn't gotten to the point where it was yet.
Yeah.
And it was that period in between a period of enjoying Austin Powers movies sincerely, and then there was a period in the middle where people went, these suck and I hate everything about them.
Yes.
And then it changed and went, I love these, but actually I don't really. I'm just being cool.
Can I say this, and it's a matter of public record, on I think episode 2 or 3, very early on, of my other podcast, The Little Dum Dum Club,
yes,
which has been going for about 6 or 7 years now, I said that I think one day Austin Powers will become the new Borat. I think it will become cool again.
Great call.
And I, you know, it's a what a benefit to have said that into a microphone and for it to be time stamped on the internet for all of eternity.
To be fair, the first like 30 episodes of that podcast were you listing things that might become the new Borat.
Yeah, look, that's true.
One of those things was the Little Dum Dum Club.
Yeah.
Still waiting on that one.
Yes.
Goldmember, huge movie. I not only wagged school to go and see it, but my dad came with me and was the one who encouraged me to wag school.
Wow.
To go and see it. He was like, "I'll cut work if you cut school to come and see it with me."
A real Michael Caine of a dad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Daddy was there. Anyway, fellas, we've got business to attend to.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, we do. The business of video games.
Mm-hmm.
The most profitable business in the world.
It is.
Probably slavery.
Or gold mining. Oh, I don't know. Maybe the costs of gold mining could be quite high.
I'm sorry for having said that. Anyway.
Talked over it partly.
You think slavery is still profitable? Like,
it is.
Still people getting royalties from it?
There are more slaves in the world today than there ever have been. That's a fact.
Wow. Where'd
really?
You learn that?
That's genuinely true.
Did you listen to a podcast about it?
I think it was like QI or something where I saw it initially.
Right.
Wouldn't have been a book. But
that's not your MO.
It was some sort of source where I was like, that's probably true.
Right. Wow.
So you didn't verify it?
No, but there's more. It makes... anyway, look, it's not for us to address necessarily.
No, but no. That's genuinely very surprising and fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
I will look it up to make sure that it's true. But
translate it from German to English. You know,
video spiel.
Nice.
Just leave it in here and then one of the listeners can do the legwork for
us. I think it's
us.
A very true and sad fact.
Okay.
Right.
That
don't tweet
Battlefield
it at us.
5 has been revealed. we'll go straight into the news. There's a bit of news since we're in a learning mood.
Yes.
There was a little teaser put up on Twitter at the time of the recording of this. So Battlefield 5, or V as it's stylized, will have been revealed in...
BV. The initials are BV.
Huh.
It's my game.
Nah.
It's your game?
Yeah.
So this has to be your favourite game of all time, right?
I guess so, yeah. Yeah.
Well, by the time people are hearing this, there will have been what I'm sure was a fantastic and not at all awkward event where Trevor Noah
sounds
revealed
a lot
it.
Like me.
Trevor Noah is doing some like reveal of the game.
Really?
Because I paid him enough. And yeah. He, that you will have seen it, but what we've seen at this point of the recording of this is a trailer that is about a half a second long
right.
of a World War II soldier going, shh, and that's it.
Oh, I bet Trevor Noah finds a way to absolutely skewer Donald Trump in this reveal video, don't you?
Trevor Noah destroys Battlefield V. Five. I wonder if they call it V or Five.
Five, surely.
I wish they had John Oliver doing it.
Oh, yes.
That is not how you reveal a video game.
You're a tank, Jeffrey. You can't even fly. You're a tank, Jeffrey. Get out of here. It looks like it's going to be set in World War II. People will know more than us by now, but okay. That'll be Battlefield, and it'll more than likely have a Battle Royale-style mode as well.
Was the last Battlefield called Battlefield 1?
One.
And now it's called V.
Yeah. And so like V for Victory... That Winston Churchill did, mm-hmm. V for Five, because there was Battlefield 4.
V for Vanel.
Yep.
V for the other thing that you're both thinking of, and it's a word that starts with V.
Try and think of a V word that isn't vagina that you can say at the end of this, which will be
Vendetta.
Vendetta.
Do you think that'll be the event? Like Trevor Noah just comes out and does the V, and goes into the camera, the end.
I'm the new Borat.
If they announced Austin Powers 5, which I know there's no 4, but to coincide with Battlefield 5.
What would that be like, Ben, since you've dug this hole?
It'd be great.
More like if they announced Austin Powers 5. That's definitely what the poster would be.
Yeah.
Austin
doing the
V in front of the mouth, which almost makes me want, like, fine, get 4 done, churn it out as quickly as you can so that we can get to 5 and live in the world where we see that poster.
Yeah, can they do another Austin Powers now that... What was his name? Mini-Me?
Vernell Troyer.
Oh, God.
It's all coming back to Betty Boy today.
Is this you working out that, what, you're the Zodiac Killer? Like,
I already knew that. Wait, I mean, no, I think just everything revolves around me.
I think you mean the Zodiac Killer. V. Everything's a V.
Why would you... Oh, that's so...
No, Mike Myers has been... He does this every couple of years. He kind of reignites the flames of there potentially being an Austin Powers 4.
Mm.
And he did that within the last couple of weeks. He's like, what about Austin Powers, but from Dr. Evil? Point of view.
Yes.
That's what he said.
Were they not already from his for half of it?
Yeah, 3 is like 3, that's the whole thing of it. Is that they're anyway. That's he's back out
or
there.
Or does he mean literally from a point of view shot of Dr. Evil?
Oh, yeah.
POV cam for the whole thing.
Walking around like that shitty first person shooter sequence in Doom. Yeah. That's in news as well.
Oh, yeah, Doom movie.
Doing another Doom movie.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. It's like today news.
Right. The news, of course.
Yes.
I've seen the movie.
One of the only movies I've ever been tempted to walk out of.
Really?
Not a walker out or of movies.
That seems to me like something that you would be, I reckon every second movie you go to, you would be tempted to walk out of.
No.
No. Knox is famously a completionist when it comes to shit things.
Yeah, right. I will stick through anything if I have paid money to be there or to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But fuck, Doom was bad. And it was before the time when you could ironically appreciate The Rock and dedicate an entire episode of a podcast to one of his movies.
Yes.
But it just is no good. But hopefully, I don't know why they're doing it again.
Mm.
It seems like... If you wanted to make a movie about aliens and shooting, because they're demons, but they changed them to aliens in the other one.
Yeah, that was
the dumbest thing. Yeah. The whole plot of Doom is actually cool, and they got rid of all of it to just have the name of just have the same name.
Yeah,
which I don't think is that massive of a selling point for most people.
But you could say the same thing about Rampage. And in fact, we did.
Yes. True. Anyway, thanks for listening to Rock the Casbah, our rock-based podcast.
I don't know. That I don't think there have been many details announced about that, so that'll come at some point. But Battlefield 5, Black Ops 4, there were some trailers of, and we did like a reaction video to those on YouTube, so if you want to hear...
A seamless recording process.
Yeah. Which, by the way, we don't really mention them very often, but we do one pretty much every week that we sit down to do this. We do like a quick, whatever trailer has been out during the week, we do a reaction video to them. So they're all on our YouTube, which you can find on our socials and on our website and stuff. So go look at them if you haven't.
YouTube.com.
Mm.
Hmm?
It's available there too. if you want to find the
bell. I don't know that for a fact, so I can't verify that. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I don't wish to speculate. But yes, if you haven't seen them, there's what? There'd be, what, a couple dozen now?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Doing them for a while.
Something like that. Yeah, we got that over there and we talked about it there, so there's no point retreading old ground. But they were very basic reveal trailers for the multiplayer modes of Black Ops 4, which is the entire thing. There's no single player this time.
So multiplayer and zombie, you see a great deal of what they are. Yeah. And then the Battle Royale mode, you see nothing.
Mm. I think you see as much as they have
at
this point. Yeah. It is.
I think it was actually good because the concept that they explain, which is like cool Call of Duty maps in a Battle Royale mode, is pretty interesting to me. Probably more interesting than if I'd just seen it.
Yeah, sure. I think the worry is that they are cobbling it together at the last second. So
do you think maybe they're saving it to show off at E3?
I literally think that they don't have it in a state where they can show any of it.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
Yeah, because they release in October and they're going to be fucking pushing it right up to then. I think that the rumor is that that's a big part of why there's no single player in this one.
Right.
Because they shifted gears last year when it was obvious that this Battle Royale thing was becoming a big deal. And reallocated the resources from that.
What else is coming out that has Battle Royale in it?
Like Battlefield, I think, will have it. Mm-hmm. Right. But we don't know that at the time of recording.
First thing Trevor Noah says, there will definitely not be a Battle Royale mode in this game.
Boo! Bring back Jon Stewart! Boo! I think there'll be... the thing that it's more done is that it's PUBG and Fortnite have killed off a number of games through the sheer number of people they're drawing into them.
Right, like Counter-Strike GO, you'd have to imagine, has dropped in usage numbers.
Probably. That might be one of the few that's gotten away with it, but like the Quake and Unreal Tournament reboot things that they did have kind of died off a bit. They're sort of doing some stuff with Quake, but I don't see anybody talking about it ever.
Yeah.
There's that one that Cliff Bleszinski's company
was doing. Oh, yeah, Lawbreakers.
Yeah, and then the one after that as well that they're working on now was a Battle Royale thing.
Oh, yeah, right.
I can't remember the names of any of those
things.
Boss Key Games was the name of it. But there's and it's more just like every company kind of scrabbling. I don't think we've had enough time yet for any of them to kind of implement it the way they would like to.
Yeah. Mm.
But it's this very reactionary thing that I haven't seen before, really, of people going like, okay, this is the hot ticket thing. We've got to get in there. This is our new way to do micro, like Battlefront 3 or whatever.
Yeah.
Titanfall 3. Everything will have some version of this at some point, and I think we will very quickly get bloated and sick of it.
Yeah.
Mm.
But, you know, who knows? So anyway, if you want to see the Call of Duty stuff, go over there. Also, we've got a... Bandcamp episode up.
Bandcamp. Were you doing a Sandler impression?
Is this German again?
You're doing your Bandcamp.
Just because we plugged the YouTube, we might as well plug that.
Yep. Mm.
Yeah, we did a commentary of the movie Pixels. It's been up for a few days now. Mm. The people who have listened to it are really liking it. And yes, do take a punt on it if you are, you know, thinking that, I don't know, for whatever reason, maybe it's not your bag. I got news for you. It definitely is.
Yes.
It's your sweetest in larger pump.
Yes.
It's, I'm not really into movie commentary things.
Right.
Like comedy ones. I never listen to them, but this was really fun to do.
Yeah. Mm.
So take it from a cynic. This is good. And you always want to hear the opinions of someone who generally doesn't like things.
Yes. Take a pun, and as you're doing that, just pay $70 for it. You know, sure, it's a dollar or more.
Yes.
You could pay the lower end, but, you know, just really stack the deck. Force yourself to get as much out of it as you can.
Oh, yeah. Treat it like it's a brand new video game, because we certainly put in as much effort as a games designer and developer would put into a game.
Filthy Casuals pug.bandcamp.com.
I think that's it, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, filthycasuals.com.au, obviously, for everything. But yeah, it was really fun. It was just like a long podcast where we had some stimulation in front of us the whole time.
I want people to listen to it. I think it was good.
Yeah, it was really good. But and we'll do more because it was fun.
Yeah.
Should we mention our live show?
Oh, yeah.
I guess we're in the plug section of the... Yeah, okay, let's go.
Classic podcast promo kind of method. Plug in the middle of the episode. Yeah.
Well, this is always our format. We go open with Austin Powers Talk.
Yes.
Half of news. plugs, other half of news. I'm going to go to the toilet after that.
Yeah.
Review.
Yeah. So if people, if you're listening and this is your first time and yes. you're hating it, well, it's like this every week. So fuck off, mate.
Yes. This is always the structure and we definitely adhere to it every week.
Also, we've had a movie playing the whole time. So this is actually a commentary.
Yeah.
So
is it Driving Miss Daisy is on?
Yes.
Right now.
And it's syncing up perfectly. Yes. So yeah. We're actually only talking when people on screen are talking. So yeah. if you watch it, it's like a Clutch Cargo kind of thing.
I'm listening to Dark Side of the Moon as we do this as well. And I'm making sure that I'm speaking on the beat and with a similar theme to each of the songs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This one is money.
Hey, I'm not going to give away what I'm listening to, but let's just say I'm listening to a great gig in the sky.
Great. I've got a metronome going in my earpiece, so I'm making sure that everything I say is absolutely on tempo. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, anyway, if you want to see this kind of high level of comedy, we are going to be doing a live show in Melbourne, July 14th at the European Beer Cafe. Tickets will be on sale now at our website, filthycasuals.com.au. It's going to be a splendid afternoon of video games related content. Yes. We're going to work on a bunch of, we're going to make it a show. We're going to work on a bunch of dumb live things that are going to be really fun.
Yep.
So, yeah, come and check that out. I know a lot of people in Melbourne have been absolutely clamoring for us to,
do a proper live show.
To do a proper live show. Yes. So, and you know what? If you're interstate, maybe you got a couple of bodies, maybe you and three or four friends
you want to hide them, we'll be hanging out back after
down.
The show. Bring your bodies
you
down.
You can use some seat fillers. Don't care if they're alive or dead.
Chuck them in our boot, whatever.
Yep.
We'll take care of them for you.
Get
the Casuals live show and murder disposal service.
Oh, wow.
This is going to happen next. Coming up right after this. New Borat.
New Borat.
Hell yeah.
Cool. New Borat.
All right. July 14th, Saturday, July 14th.
Yes.
European Beer Cafe.
Yep.
So here's a couple of weird ones. There's been a Halo arcade game announced.
Mm.
That's pretty weird.
Because when was the last time you saw... So Dave and Buster's, I think, is like basically an adult Chuck E. Cheese type thing where it's got drinks and food and games.
Right.
And it's big in the US. Mm-hmm. I might be wrong about that because I don't live there.
No, they made a new Rampage arcade game for the movie.
And they were featured in the movie.
And then Dave and Buster's. So it was only at Dave and Buster's and they're featured in the movie.
So I think that has sort of been a little bit of an arcade resurgence over there.
Right.
And there's a Halo arcade game called Fireteam Raven.
Four-player beat-em-up, Smithers kidnaps Maggie and you have to go into Mr.
Exactly
Burns' mansion and get her back.
There's four guns and it's like an on-rails light gun shooter thing.
That's cool.
Do you remember that Lost World Jurassic Park game?
Yeah,
that was good.
Yeah.
And this is that but Halo.
Fuck yeah.
So it actually might be cool, but it's so fucking weird.
Yeah.
Because it's like set alongside the first Halo game as well. So this really feels like it's about 17 years out of its time.
Right.
But whatever, they're making that. And
if you got a high score on that, and you had to put in three letters, which three would you pick?
Well, the first one would be a C.
Okay.
Second one.
Wow.
Yeah.
All
right.
The letter
where
U.
This is going.
The third one.
This is your last letter though, by the way.
Yeah. You know there's only three.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
M. I'm cum. Cum is the winner.
I was really skeptical that after you said cum, the third letter, that it was going to be funny, but you managed to make it funny.
Yeah.
Hey,
I'm cum.
Don't ever fucking doubt me. I'll tell you what I do doubt, though.
Mm-hmm.
Resident Evil 7 on the... there's not much more about the Halo thing. It's just basically been revealed and it's been weird. And I hope it's not at like... Because I remember there was a thing that 343, who are making the Halo games now, said like, oh, we'll have something Halo to announce this year, but it might not be what you're thinking of.
Right.
If they don't announce a 6 at E3 and it's just this for the year, fucking wild.
Yeah.
I'm into it. That's sick.
Yeah.
A lot of weird decisions. So Resident Evil 7 is getting a Switch version.
Yes. But it's not just an actual port.
Well, it's technically not getting a Switch version, I guess.
Yeah,
This ain't your granddaddy's Resident Evil 7.
Yes. Yes, which is what the ported version would have been, slower and old.
Yes, frail.
And not fun, yeah.
Yep.
This is something completely different.
It's... So I didn't read any of the articles about this, so I might not be the person. So let me have a guess at what I think it is from the headlines.
Wow, it's weird for you to dive into something whilst admitting that you have no idea what you're talking about.
Usually he says it as if it's a fact and then admits that he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Are you streaming it onto your Switch?
Yes.
And it is running on one of Capcom's computers. And then you are using the internet, streaming it like one of those NVIDIA shields or whatever onto your Switch.
Exactly. That's
so
exactly
strange.
Right.
Yeah. So strange.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's weird. It's it must be like a test case for something they want to do in the future, right?
There's no news if it's, I believe, at the point that we're recording this, there's no news on whether or not it's coming to the West.
Okay.
So at the moment, it's only Japanese.
Right.
Which would make sense because they have good internet. And we do not.
Yeah.
Be great if it came to the West and just not Australia. They're like, this is a fucking suicide mission. No way. So yes, it's streaming, and you're basically paying to rent it. You're getting a license to it for 30 days or something like that.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
I was reading up a bit on it, and like I can see the.
You guys just touched fate.
Yeah, we noticed it made Adam very weird.
Yeah,
I did a facial expression, a facial expression that I haven't made before, and it was like I didn't enjoy that.
There was actual sparks that kind of came off your face.
Well, because we both pulled back too quickly, and that made it seem like it was too like, oh no, we were thinking it might happen.
Yes, yeah, you were kissing at the same time, but
that's
it was,
fine.
Yeah, the fate.
I find that's I'm always disgusted at myself when I like if I'm sitting next to a strange man on the tram, and if we accidentally touch hands and you both like pull away too quickly, I feel like it's like it looks like I'm going, not gay.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I wish I was more calm and like, who cares if you just touch another dude?
I think it's more like I do the same thing, and I think it's more like me going, I didn't intend to touch you there. I'm not worried about that man thinking anything about me.
No,
other than me being a predator.
I guess it's just because I grew up watching a lot of Friends, and you know, as we learn from that show, strangers thinking, or even people that you know thinking that there's a chance that you might be gay, one of the worst possible things that can happen to a human being.
Yeah, it's a nightmare scenario.
See, I would react
and
the
Chandler
same way.
Would be a real idiot. If
I'd react the same way if I accidentally touched anyone.
Yeah.
If it was a guy, I'd have to be like, look, everyone, I reacted that way, but if it was a girl, I would have done the same thing, or like a baby or a dog. I just don't like touching people. Thank you for your time.
We sound like the three most repressed people on the planet.
I'm glad that guy made that speech because I feel a lot more at ease now.
He was staring at the ground while making it.
So this is basically, do you remember PS Now, which we didn't get over here?
Yeah.
This is that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was reading up a bit on it, and I can understand the merit in this kind of service. Why you would choose to trot it out in its kind of infancy on something like the Switch. Because you read the headline, it's like Resident Evil 7 coming to Switch, like, cool, I never played it. Maybe I'll go in if there's a bit of a drought at the time.
It'd be nice to have a portable version of Resident Evil 7.
Sure.
Oh, wait, it's not fucking portable.
Yeah. I really don't get it. I just don't think that even if this technology is good, it's like surely the Switch is just not the place for it. But then also, I don't know, maybe like in Japan, and we experienced a bunch of this, Ben, every Airbnb that we stayed in, nowhere has a modem. There are all these like little pocket Wi-Fi things that are powerful enough that, you know, you get great internet on them. So they're what they use in the home. And then you just can take them with you and you get this great Wi-Fi service off it. So maybe in a country where you're never really – so you can have like little mini Wi-Fi that's got a lot of data on it that's like your home plan on the train and when you're out. Like I guess for that, like that's – it's kind of works.
That's what I suspect. I suspect that anyone listening to this in a country with good infrastructure, which like a lot of the European – like Central and Western European countries do, they probably think that we sound like idiots. Like I genuinely think that this is much more of a real thing in any country that's not Australia.
Right.
And maybe the US where it's more expensive. Yeah.
I guess so. It's just it's new, so I'm afraid of it, I suppose.
Accidentally touched its foot.
Yeah, exactly. But like
like I said, I think it's very telling that it's not happening outside of Japan, at least to begin with. Because I mean, even in the States, like that little pocket Wi-Fi thing, that's the only country that I've been to where I've seen it be that prominent. Where like we didn't stay in a single Airbnb that just had a traditional modem.
Yes.
They were all this and they all worked great. they were all, I believe, like basically unlimited data.
Yeah.
So whatever plan, like it just must be like that's the equivalent of your home plan, and then you just take that out in the streets with you. I haven't seen it. It might, it probably some version of it exists in the States, but I certainly haven't encountered it in Airbnbs or, you know, people that I've met or talked to.
Yeah.
And yeah, our data plans here in our internet is just not, is yeah. just not capable of it. I mean, like even just in mobile phones, like as data becomes more and more of a, you know, with phones, it's like SMSs used to be the thing that you were paying for.
Yeah,
first
yeah.
it was calls and it was SMSs and now it's data. But surely that will come to a point where it's like data is like basically valueless and it's like unlimited for $4 a month or whatever.
At some point, all the wired infrastructure that we're putting in will be defunct.
Yes.
So in that point, like, yeah, just playing stuff online on your Switch will be... will not be an issue because you'll just have it tethered to your phone the whole time you're out. And,
sure.
you know, presumably then planes have gotten to a point where they've all got Wi-Fi in them as well.
Yeah. So. Even with good Wi-Fi or whatever, though, the latency that you have just communicating with a computer that's far away to play a game that requires fast reactions. It could feel very bad. Like that was always a complaint with things that are similar to this, is that the latency can be enough
right.
that you it doesn't feel good to play.
Yeah, sure.
Which might still be an issue. But then also it is nice to see, or it's interesting to see all these different companies really thinking about how they distribute games.
Yeah.
Like what does buying a game mean anymore?
Yeah.
If you're buying it digitally and it's a license anyway and that price point is putting people off, then why not bring it lower, rent out the game and like Microsoft doing the Game Pass stuff.
Yeah.
Capcom having a look at this, it's interesting.
I guess the fact that I think for me it's the fact that it's the streaming it and it's the paying for a short license of it, both of them in the same hit, makes me go, what the fuck is this? If it was, you know, one or two of them,
right.
it's like, oh, you pay for it, but then you're just like streaming it off a server. It's like, okay, that's kind of weird. Or if it was like, oh, it's just a rent game, it's like, oh, okay. But the fact that they're both kind of in the same thing is the bit that I find weirdest about it. And again, I don't fully know how this works, but someone was saying to me about how, because I said what is basically the reason, what's the incentive for doing this, what's the motive, and they were saying that a game like Resident Evil 7, that would be the only way to get it to run on the Switch hardware.
Yes.
Which I don't get it. I don't get how that's the case.
Why? Because you're an idiot.
Yeah,
because it's not
obviously
it's not running
the
game
isn't strong enough.
It's streaming the visual. It's like streaming a YouTube video where you can control a character within it. Like,
okay, so you're controlling it on something else.
It's you are remote controlling it on someone else's computer.
Okay, that's the bit I didn't understand because I thought it was like just
listen,
putting it
fucking
putting
dumbass
it on the
moron.
Still, you, play, you, let you, me finish. Hey, listen, let me finish.
Let him
finish.
Explain how right. dumb he is.
Me do poo poo, then me fall over, then me eat poo poo. Now, to your point.
My wife. But that's the same thing that the PS Now thing did, is it ran it off of a different computer.
Okay,
yes.
Right.
So, which is why the latency and the lag is a genuine issue.
Because you are literally remote controlling
it. It's not like it's not like you've streamed the game onto your Switch and then the Switch is running that game.
Yeah.
You're just streaming the visuals and
Right.
So if you can get that poo-poo out of your mouth for a second, can you tell us if you understand now?
me understand good.
Oh, me dumb character is back.
I mean, if they can get it to a point where it works,
that's a game changer
one
if they
for
can.
One,
totally.
Then something like the Switch being underpowered, like it won't matter.
Yes, yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, it's I don't think it will work yet, probably, but but that's based off of having seen it from other things from years ago. So maybe
I think this is almost like a thing of getting in early so that kids and people who are going to have buying power in 10 years are okay with this concept. You know,
So here's the.
I'd be interested to hear reports from people about it. Like I mean, we're going to be over there. I'll try and give it a go when I'm over there.
Yeah, that's a great call.
So you know, Steam Link.
Yes.
That is the little box where it's the same thing, basically. You put that box next to your TV, it runs video from the computer that's somewhere else in the house through your router to the TV.
Yeah, you get to sit on the couch and use a handheld controller to play your PC games.
You can get that on phones now or tablets and things like that.
Right.
So you have to be connected to the Wi-Fi network
that
the computer's on, but it all depends on if you have a good enough router for it to be an okay experience or whatever.
Right.
And that is still sometimes sluggish for people. So the idea of that happening and then over an internet connection as well,
yeah,
seems crazy. But
yeah. I love the idea of someone, you know, because the Switch is region free and you can very easily get on other countries' eShops. I love the idea of someone in Australia getting onto the Japanese eShop and streaming this and it just absolutely not working.
Yeah.
And so them calling up Japanese Capcom support and going, this is fucking bullshit. It's not fucking running.
They're eating an apple at the time. So I always think it's more arrogant to be eating an apple while you complain and go like, so I'm trying this over here. It's not working.
Yeah. That happened to me the other day. I got put on hold and it was like the thing where they tell you there's quite a queue.
Yes.
And it made it sound like I was going to be there for like half an hour. And so I started eating and then they were like, anyway, here we are. And I was like, oh, no.
Me mouth got poo-poo. Yes. Me not ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it for all the news of the week, though.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the end of that.
Cool.
Goodbye, everybody.
Yeah, just a half-hour episode this week.
A couple of releases this week. Well, nothing big and new. But Adam and I have been playing a game that came out on the Nintendo Switch, Hyrule Warriors, the Definitive Edition, which came out on the Wii U 2014, I believe.
I don't know off the top of my head.
And then the 3DS got an updated version a couple of years after that. And then this is kind of, a combination of both those versions with, I think, two costumes from Breath of the Wild.
Right.
And like a little bit updated graphics that it's like running at a solid 60 frames per second.
Yes.
It's a real DK Tropical Freeze situation.
It is super Tropical Freezy. Yeah, you're right, 2014.
Yep.
This is yet another Wii U port over to the Switch, which whatever, we've talked about that before. But the game itself, I really like.
Me too.
Right.
It's fun.
Weirdly enough, this had never interested me. The Wii U, I think it came out kind of late enough in the Wii U cycle and it was like, I remember at the time it was like, this isn't really a Zelda game. This is just like this weird other series that Zelda's in. And I remember people being kind of pretty down on it.
Right. It was still kind of I remember kind of having the wait for Breath of the Wild in the back of my head at the time as well.
Right.
Like, oh, there's a proper Zelda game just around the corner.
That's very true, actually. And and I think like that, and maybe this is the same for a lot of people, but I always liked Zelda enough, but Breath of the Wild really kind of really reinvigorated my love for this series. So just this kind of like weird fan service-y thing of like being able to like, you know, do all this crazy shit with these characters never appealed to me in 2014. But like I started watching the trailers of it coming out on the Switch because I was like, I think I might be into this time around.
Right.
I was like, fuck, I really, really want to play this. And it's a lot of fun. So it's basically, it's Dynasty Warriors.
Right.
Which there's, what, 9 of?
And plus a million different other versions.
Yeah.
Like weird spin-offs.
Fire Emblem Warriors is a thing. Yeah.
And then there's like 3 versions of each of those 9 Dynasty Warriors.
Right.
Too.
Right. Right.
So it's crazy.
So it's basically you run around on a battlefield and you're taking on hordes and hordes of enemies. You are basically a god who outpowers them like 100 to 1.
Right? They are meaningless.
They are absolutely meaningless, So you unlock more. There's a main story mode where you unlock more characters as you go along. You can often switch between characters in battle. You've got you've got these like crazy powerful attacks that just like are a wave around you of enemies just getting obliterated.
And it's very simple. So like there's stronger enemies like captains and whatever who you do kind of have to fight.
Yeah.
And it's very simple, like XXY kind of simple combos. And
it's super arcadey.
Yeah.
Right.
You've got like a special attack. You've got a couple of meters that build up and let you do various things. But it's all pretty simple and straightforward, but in a really kind of relaxing, satisfying way where it feels almost like cleaning a dirty bench or something. You know when you wipe the dust off of something?
Sure,
and there's heaps of dust and then you take it away and you're like, oh, that was nice.
Yeah.
It's that same feeling.
That's a great way of summing it up,
It's very easy but satisfying.
So each of the main levels that I've played so far in the story mode, you're in the one kind of set map and there's kind of these like little sort of story beats happening of like little missions that you're given to do, most of which revolve around there's keeps and outposts, and they both generate soldiers for your side. And so if you go to where they are, they'll often have been captured by the enemy.
Right.
And you have to if you start wiping out enough of the enemies, a boss of that little area will appear. And then if you wipe him out, you have that that territory is yours.
Right.
Your soldiers are there. But then you have this map where you'll be seeing like, oh, these enemies from here have just come in and now they've captured this keep. So it's kind of about you sort of like monitoring the map and like making sure that you're kind of like keeping control of these kind of areas.
Right, right.
And the way that those objectives and that sort of stuff are given to you isn't great, where it's just a little box in the corner with sort of the dialogue of whatever character.
That's my biggest gripe with it.
Yeah.
It's basically taking characters from all across the Zelda games and just putting it, which is what I like most about it, into this like just weird, super different context to what you're used to a Zelda game being.
It's kind of like that. Do you remember that story mode of Smash Brothers Brawl?
Yes, yes.
Same sort of thing, but with just Zelda characters.
Right. Reminds me of that a lot. Yeah, yeah, just this complete retextualizing and putting it in a, yeah, just totally very fun, very silly, very loose environment with just kind of the...
All in. Avengers Assemble.
Okay.
That's sort of a vibe.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's one for the comic book nerds out there.
Yeah. Revengers. Sounds great.
Grandangers.
Can't imagine there'd be any crossover fans.
A lot of crossover fans of Grandanger, though.
Yeah. But yes, it's just playing through these with these characters in like a completely different context is very satisfying. And so, yeah, part of that is like when you're in these battlefields, yeah, there's kind of constantly stuff happening and it's like we need help, but there's no voice stuff. It's all just a tiny little text box at the bottom of the screen that you kind of constantly have to be like looking down to see,
as in like which keep is under attack or like
story bits of them going like, oh, this thing's happening, this guy's over here, quick, get over here. And it's a very small box, and it's whilst you're also doing other stuff, so it feels like watching the kids in the back of the car or something. Should be focusing on other stuff.
The big mission stuff does come up in the center of the screen, and that's very hard to miss. It's just more of the kind of the actual kind of like flavor of it and the shading of it, of like, oh, these characters are talking to each other. These little bits of dialogue. It's a real shame that it's not voice acted,
because it all moves and changes quite quickly. So it's kind of constantly happening. So you kind of feel like you're either missing a lot or monitoring a lot,
right?
Which is a bit annoying.
Yeah,
and could be fixed if there was a voiceover.
Totally.
But maybe that would also be annoying in its own way, because it'd be pretty constant.
Right. Yeah, I kind of would. I would like that though. I like that sort of stuff in games. Nice. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of my biggest gripe with it. I find that I get lost a lot. Like when a mission comes up in the map, I sort of like takes me a little while to kind of calibrate myself. And I kind of wish there was like maybe this is something you can turn on. I just haven't found it, but like a Grand Theft Auto style, like here's an arrow in front of you pointing you to like where to go.
You get little green arrows pointing you towards, I think they just point you towards enemies or something. But yeah, there's a map on screen at all times, but it is hard to orient yourself on that sometimes.
But also, and again, I'm pretty early on in it, so, you know, this could be, you know, null and void after playing another level, but none of it has been to the death. Like, it's not like I've been dying constantly because of any of these things. Do you know what I mean?
It's like something that you didn't realize was over there and you had to race to it.
Yeah. It feels like the timelines, the timers that you get to go and do things are pretty open, and it kind of just wants you to be able to have fun. There's running around and fucking knocking people over and going crazy.
Yeah. I've missed a couple of the side missions just or whatever.
Right.
But it's not really important. You can replay everything. It's all quite short little maps. So
yeah. And then you unlock like a free mode and an adventure mode, which is really cool apparently, which I haven't gone in on yet. But
there's so much shit in it.
There's heaps of stuff in it.
Right.
There's leveling up the characters and unlocking new weapons and and like
skill trees and shit.
Yeah. And it kind of feels like one that's very built in mind with like you going back to the levels and like replaying through those challenges again and trying to get like a higher score.
And there's all little hidden bits and different objectives that you might have missed, and you can play through it with different characters. And there's so much of it. I mean, it's a lot of content of repeating the same basic loop of swipe, 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 swipe. But it is, even though it's not complicated, there's something really relaxing about it almost. It's like you can kind of zone out with this in a fun way.
Totally, yeah. I would recommend it. Yeah, I mean, it totally, the first time passed me by, I had no interest in it whatsoever. And then, like I said, I'm really enjoying it. So if it's been off your radar and you're a fan of Zelda. Like, if you're a, you know, if you've played, I haven't even played all of them, and I'm getting enough out of it. Like, the pure delight of kind of like the fan service of being able to do these like insane feats in with these characters in ways that Zelda games never let you do is really satisfying. So I would, yeah, I'd really recommend checking it out. And like, yeah, there's a lot in there. So
it's definitely made me more interested in having a look at the Dynasty Warriors games as well.
Right.
Right.
Because all the Zelda window dressing of this is nice. But I think I like the actual core thing enough. I mean, maybe I'll get sick of it. But the Dynasty Warriors, like the whole Romance of the Three Kingdoms or whatever it's called,
right?
Yep. Setting that they have is just something I don't really know anything about, so I was never really that appealed to by. And
dumb.
But just running around on this battlefield with like this rock version of the Zelda theme,
right.
Just sick, just fucking awesome, and you can. In the menu when you go in, you can just change what music is playing. So it unlocks all these themes and then it's like, what do you want to listen to while you do this level, buddy?
Right,
which I think is cool.
It is totally built around you just having a good time.
Yeah.
And it's a really good game. I haven't actually played the handheld mode yet. I haven't taken it out of the dock.
Me either. Yeah. Mm.
And I imagine that the little speech bits will be even more annoying on that.
Oh, yeah, shit. Yeah.
But
you can play co-op, which is apparently really fun.
And it's a very good portable game because there's lots of little bite-sized things to do in it.
Yeah.
In a similar way to like a fighting game or something where you can just play a quick match.
Right.
Yeah, I would really like to play it with someone else. It seems like it'd be a lot of fun to like be on opposite, you know, kind of communicating with each other.
Good luck.
If only I knew someone else playing it on
who
the
you
Switch
wanted to play it
who
with.
Enjoyed it. Yeah. Like, yeah, maybe a friend of mine who I'm going to be at the beach with.
That'd
for
be
like
ideal, yeah.
A week or something.
Good
you
luck.
Know? Yeah. Sit around the pool, maybe. Have a couple of Mai Tais.
Hey, Mai Tais.
Oh, God. It's going to be that for a week, isn't it? So, yes, a lot of fun. Yeah, recommend it.
Cool.
I also started playing a game that's been out for a little while now called Battle Chef Brigade.
Right.
I'm playing it on the Switch, but let me just check what else it's out on. Maybe I think it might just be on Steam.
Probably the Wii U in 2014.
Something
it came out last year on Steam.
Oh, great. It's something that I've been sleeping on for a bit. It is a puzzle game that is basically kind of a like Puyo Puyo style, like kind of gem swapping to make like lines of, you know, the same color. But when you line up three, they turn into like the next level up of what the blue color is. And so then if you can get those next levels, like they turn into the three and then it taps out at that.
Kind of like threes.
Kind of, yeah. Kind of Puyo Puyo crossed with threes. But so it's a really, really weird game because it's got this great simple puzzle mechanic. But then on top of that, the storyline is that it's like this kind of Iron Chef style thing where you're this kind of like competing to be this like master cook.
Mm.
So before each puzzle level – you go into like a little platform a bit where you have to kill monsters. You pick up the remains that they leave behind and those are the ingredients that you're cooking with.
Oh.
So you can go out and do that as much as you want in the time limit. So you might go, all right, well, I'm out of blue gems. So you go out into the little, you know, into the little hunting area and you just look for, okay, I know this animal just has the like leaves behind the blue ones.
Right.
So kill a bunch of them, get them, then put them in and cook with that. And then once you've – so you kind of drop them all in and line them up in a line and then you go into like cooking mode where you kind of stir it. So you move the gems around to get those combinations.
Right, right, right.
So – and then there's kind of this RPG kind of story element on top of that where you're kind of staying in this town and so you go and do like little quests during the day that are all kind of like different versions of this puzzle mode or this hunting mode. But, yeah, the main guts of it is you're doing this Iron Chef stuff where – one judge will be like, well, this is the kind of, this is the kind of food that I prefer. And he'll basically be saying, get as much red gem stuff in there as you can.
Sure, right.
So trying to make sure you get as many of the level three, like red gems in there as you can. And basically, you know, your pot will get full of the gems and you won't be able to match them anymore. So you'll just have to go, okay, well, I'm out. I've got to hand this in now because I can't, because you can't take stuff out unless you match it up. And then you unlock, you know, new pots to cook in, which mean that instead of matching three of a kind, you only have to match two of a kind. And then there's certain pots that will do that, but only with one color, and then you can't match any other colors in there.
Right.
So you kind of get this loadout before you go into each one. Like, it's great. Mm. Like, there's so much to do. And it sounds like, I know it sounds very overly complicated, but it's got this great little kind of RPG story thing where it explains that all to you really simply and really quickly. And you just, yeah, within about half an hour, it's like, cool, I get this. Like,
yeah,
I'm
right.
in, and yeah, it's such a weird, it's weird that apart from Andrew Levin's telling me repeatedly about it, I hadn't heard a thing about it, which is bizarre because it's so unique and it's so great. And so, yeah, if you like puzzle games, it's a no-brainer because, yeah, it's just there's so much different stuff in it to what you're used to in a puzzle game.
I've always thought that I found the idea of a puzzle game with those sort of trappings on top of it appealing. But everyone that I've tried, I've never actually enjoyed those things being on top of it.
Right.
Do you know? Do you reckon this is the different
one? I think it
one?
Is because they're built into it. So it's just like it's part of the puzzle mechanic. Mm. Like the going out and hunting, like you get into the strategy of like, okay, well, I know I've got it. And once you've played it a couple of times, you get to know, okay, I know that these monsters were these colors, so I sort of won't bother with them. This one takes a lot more to kill, but it's got exactly what I need. So, and yeah, it's all very fluid. The art style is cool. The combat when you're taking down the monsters is just very simple. So yeah, I kind of think this is the one because it's not just like, oh, it's this puzzle game and then you're going around doing all this unrelated bullshit. Mm-hmm. Like it all kind of ties in, and the challenges that you do and the other stuff that you do earns you money, which, you know, you can use to like buy new items for your loadout and everything. The fact that it is all, it doesn't feel like they went, oh, we got to have a point of difference, so let's chuck this in. It's like,
right.
it really does just feel like this one batshit idea that came out of one person's head where they went, wouldn't this just, like, you know what I mean? Like, it just
came
to them in a singular bolt of inspiration.
Sure,
of like,
yeah.
This is what it is and this will be really fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's on sale right now in the Switch eShop. So if you're looking for something, if you like puzzle games, I definitely would recommend going in because, I'm liking it a lot.
Nice.
Really fun.
I've been playing more God of War. I've been specifically hunting down the Valkyries. Fucking so fun. Really, really satisfying mini boss battles.
Mm-hmm.
Slightly different to each other, so there's different tactics you have to use for each one, different kind of armor and weapon loadouts and runes and stuff.
Yep.
So it actually makes the combat a bit more complicated. Yeah, and like all that stuff that we talked about in terms of the storytelling in between, you know, moments just when you're traversing is cool. There's more of it. Like they just keep telling stories and giving backstory and lore and... It's still really, really good.
Great.
I also remembered a bit of news that we didn't talk about. No Man's Sky is getting actual multiplayer.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to Xbox as well.
Right.
Huge.
Which is, yeah, pretty huge. I think I'm just keen to play it when it comes out and
yeah,
see what
exactly.
It's like.
I feel like it's not worth talking about anything about that game before it exists.
Right? Yes, yes. Well, everyone kind of had issues with that. Before it launched. And
it feels like it'll probably be a big hit on Xbox because people on Xbox are getting the game that people with the PS4 thought they were going to get. And
yeah.
By the time they put these changes in, I think people have kind of made their mind up. Like, I don't think that this multiplayer thing will really inspire anyone who wasn't already still playing it to go back in.
Yeah.
Written it off after day one. But if that's all coming out day one on Xbox as a package, like it probably is all of a sudden like a pretty attractive package.
That's pretty weird too, because didn't Sony give them a lot of money to develop it or something, or did they just join in with the marketing?
I think they joined in with the marketing.
Right.
Now Sony are going to be the one sending him death threats.
Yeah. I think Sony is the thing that made them rush it to release without all that the stuff that they wanted to include.
Well, and having all the expectation put on it as well.
Yes.
It was just kind of this cool little indie and then it became this like massive thing.
I wonder, have they said what price it's going to be on the Xbox? Do you know?
I don't think so.
Because I wonder what, it'll have to be low.
I think now it is a full game.
Right, but all that stuff's free.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But
it also did come out as at like $60 or something.
Yeah, it came out as like a full released thing.
But if they bring it out for $60 again on the Xbox, I don't know. I reckon that's a bit crook.
Oh, it's just a game.
I guess I'm just a friend of the working man.
You are dressed like Bruce Springsteen in the late 70s.
Thank you very much. That's genuinely the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
A very handsome man, Bruce Springsteen.
That's interesting news. I've also been playing a little bit of Little Nightmares the Switch, which came out last year on the PS4, and I was a big fan of. More than happy to play it again. Really fun game. Looks great. I don't know if there were a couple of little issues that I had with it at the time with some of the little kind of bits of timing and the jumping and the grabbing being a little off at times. And I don't know whether that's just like I'm better at it now or whether it actually has been improved, because since I was playing it on the PlayStation 4, they've released a couple of extra updates for it.
Right.
And now bring it over to the Switch. So I don't know whether that's actually improved or just I'm just not noticing it. But it looks great on the handheld screen. It's a great game for the Switch. If you haven't played it, I really would recommend it. If you like things like Inside or Limbo, similar kind of style to that. Like more visual style of Abe's Odyssey crossed a bit more with like your Inside-y Limbo, where you don't really have, you're just kind of running and kind of like traversing your way through this thing. So you're not doing anything like super complex. I guess that's Abe's Odyssey, isn't it?
Yeah.
Abe's Odyssey if you didn't have the bottle cap thing.
The bottle cap thing.
Yeah, where you're throwing, what are you throwing to like distract?
Yeah, it's
the little rocks.
Bottle cap.
Yeah, right. I was imagining, I was picturing like a weird controller in my head. I don't know why.
Right. cool.
But yeah, that style of game. And it's just got this great creepy aesthetic where the bad guys look like these kind of like weird real life fucked up puppets. Like they look like these melted kind of fucked marionettes. Like it really works for me. I really, really like it. That's worth checking out.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Is that it?
Well, we got some emails.
Let's do some emails.
Do a couple of emails.
We got time. Yeah.
All right. Well,
It's been a while, hasn't it, since we checked in?
Yeah, we haven't dipped into the emails for a little bit, so let's do some.
Yeah.
So, this first email comes in from Mark. I am reading this cold. You've put it in the document, but I have never read it before.
Yes, you refused to read our fans' emails to us.
And by the way, filthycasualspod@gmail.com is the email address. We do go through the emails and read them, even if we don't get around to them all the time, but when we do... Oh, boy, do we appreciate it, Mark.
That's it, Mark.
So, my hometown has just seen the last of its dedicated game shops, and we're stuck going to supermarkets if we want a hard copy of something, and that will mostly only include new releases. My question is, do you think that the time for a hard copy is over? Would games reduce in cost if they didn't have to fulfill that market? And do you prefer to have an actual copy of the game, or is digital fine in your books? Who wants to field this one first? Because I think we're all going to have differing opinions on this.
Yeah.
I do tend to go and get a game physically when I can, because I hate being caught out by going to purchase something on the store and then finding that I've run out of the storage, so I have to like get a new storage thing.
Right.
So I feel like eventually you're going to have to go and buy a new SD card or whatever it is. So when you can, why not alleviate that? Like with the Switch, I try and buy as much stuff physically as I can, and then save the SD card space for indies or if I'm lucky enough to get a review code. But then that being said, a thing like that, it is like just being able to switch between stuff when you're playing without having to, you know, get up and take the cartridge out and whatever. It is a seamless, great way of doing things.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the thing though. If that was the case where the making the physical copies, not having to make them anymore, meant that the price of games came down, then great. I don't think that would be the case though.
No. Well, because at least in this country, a physical copy is invariably cheaper than a digital one.
Yeah.
I imagine that would be the case in all.
I think it's pretty standard in the US. I think everything's $60 on release and it doesn't really fluctuate. Because we've got this sort of price, this competitive thing here where like the department stores here, like Big W and Target or whatever, want to release them cheaper so that people go there because they're sort of struggling.
Yes.
So that's why you get games releasing like brand new games for like $62 here, whereas in the digital store, for context, for anyone who doesn't live here, they'd be $100.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
they're almost like loss leaders for those department stores.
Exactly. Yeah. And then JB Hi-Fi and all other shops kind of have to follow that lead.
Yeah. The more electronics stores. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is a big reason of why I get physical stuff pretty much all the time.
Right.
Unless it's like on a sale on the digital store, because I'm a bargain boy.
Right.
And I like to bargain hunt.
I am a minimalist. I've moved house a lot in the past 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
And every single time I had, initially it was DVDs and Blu-rays. And after a while it was like, I don't use these. I torrent stuff or I stream stuff, and I just put a bunch of stuff on hard drives and got rid of those. And ever since I made that switch, I've also kind of tended towards that with games as well. It's just like, yeah, I don't know, I'll pay an extra $20 to have it download overnight and just be there. I tend to be, I don't know, kind of busy during the times when I would probably want to go to the shops. So it's for me, it's convenience, both in terms of getting it into my house and also having it in my house and not take up space.
Yeah, I have had a couple times where I've bought stuff on the eShop because I just couldn't be fucked going out to get it.
Mm.
But then the download time that it's taken, I'm like, I could have just gone to the shops and back in this time.
Right.
Gotten some lunch and saved myself $30.
Right. See, there's been times kind of recently, because I only really realized you could do this recently. I'll be at work and I'll go on the PlayStation app on my phone, buy a game and have it start installing while
that's
I'm at work.
That's great.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, that's what I love about it.
And the preload stuff that you can do on games more and more is pretty cool.
Mm.
Where you can...
You'll pre-order
it, download it then.
Yeah.
And so then as soon as it goes live on midnight or whatever, it's ready to go.
I think another part of the thing for me, though, is that I have a bit more of a doomsday prepper mentality than I think either of you do.
Yeah.
Where...
You definitely do.
Again, you're dressed like one right now. Yes.
I have cans of food inside of this jacket.
Okay.
Just in case I get hungry on the tram home. But I don't trust having this big digital... I don't like paying for a license for digital things.
Yeah, right.
I like paying for something that I own.
I don't have a real attachment to like stuff like that. Like there are things that I own that I really value and treasure, like art and family, for, you know, like genuinely sentimental things, but like products.
Yeah.
Like I don't give a fuck about my TV. Like it's, you know, if it breaks, I'll get it replaced on warranty and it's like, you know, I don't tend to have that kind of attachment to products.
Yeah, right.
Really,
it's less of an attachment and more of a I don't like the idea of paying for something that I don't own.
Right,
it is. You know, I mean, if you've spent a lot of, I always kind of liked the idea of like, especially when like DVDs first came and were a thing, like there was a bit of pride of like having this library and being able to look and go like, oh, I've amassed this, like, which, yeah, as you get older does become a pain in the ass with having to move and everything. But yeah, the shame is that like games companies themselves do not care about this anymore because games don't come with a manual. Boxes have gotten smaller and smaller. Yeah. But that used to be my favorite thing about it, was like getting out this manual and there would be a bit of design in there. There'd be some, you know, Rare would always put like little funny bits in the manuals and stuff, which I always really loved reading. But now it's like a bit of a shame. Like you open the box and there's just like, if you're lucky, there's some kind of cool stuff printed on the inside cover.
Right.
But it does like... You know, the little stack of Switch games that I have sitting there, it's like, well, they're such small little cases anyway.
Ones, I've taken them out of the plastic cases and just have the little cards in a separate little container.
Same. Yeah, they're all in my little carry bag for
And I've definitely thought about getting rid of all my physical boxes for stuff and just having a big CD wallet.
Yeah, sure.
And
shoving
everything in there for the sake of space.
I used to do that just with CDs again. Yeah. Like I'd have a massive CD wallet I'd take around.
It's the thought of being in a bunker in 20 years and somehow still has electricity.
Right.
And going like, oh, I feel like playing this game. Wait a minute, I can't because it no longer exists.
Right.
Because it's been taken down off of all these shops. It's no longer, you can't access it. And it's not even that long ago that stuff doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, we've spoken about that fairly recently.
And that really bothers me for some reason. And in truth, it's probably something I should get over, because what is the actual chance that in fucking 15 years I'm going to go, boy, I really wish I could play Bayonetta 1.
Right.
Yeah.
This again is, I feel very kind of pretentious or, you know, just silly expressing this, but like, I kind of have the attitude that I wish that I didn't have any of this stuff. Like, if the internet went away, if smartphones stopped working all of a sudden, I'd feel happier, you know? Like, I kind of wish that I didn't have any like of this shit. So
maybe
I kind of
I like
the idea that all of a sudden there's no games or movies or anything
but
anymore.
Then it's just wolves and darkness. Can't that like this is what it's
inner peace, man.
It is not inner peace, it is deep fear. You ever seen a wild animal look peaceful? They look fucking raggedy and no, they do not. That is projection.
Not since
you know how fucking quickly birds twitch? They're always looking around going like, where the fuck's there going to be danger?
No.
No, it's constant danger out there in the wilderness.
Not since the debate about whether or not The Big Short was good has there been a more U2 debate to be a witness to. The Doomsday is good, Ben Vanel.
You told me this, Knox, the other day.
Yeah.
You didn't touch kelp until 3 days ago.
Yeah.
You grew up on the beach.
I grew up on a kelpless beach in a bay.
Okay. Yeah. Still, you grew up on a peninsula.
Yeah, and I didn't walk around fucking picking up a bunch of shit.
I have touched kelp, but I grew up on a mountain like 3 hours from the beach.
I gotta say,
if anything, that makes you a worse person than me.
I gotta say, I it's well documented on this podcast that I'm a great fan of the strangeness of Adam Knox, but yes. I'm with him on this one.
Really?
Now that I've heard you go, just fucking wipe me out, take my phone, erase all my stuff. I don't care about any
of
my possessions.
Blow me up and I'm going to have my memories of rolling about in kelp as a child to comfort me into the blackness of death.
No, I think it's more normal to enjoy nature than
to
not.
I enjoy nature, but I have a deep respect for it in the fact that it's trying to kill me at all times. Like, I don't think that I'm some tourist who can wander around nature and not be afraid of getting my head chopped off by a tiger. Now, I know that several things about what I just said wrong, that there's not going to be a tiger here and he's not going to chop my head off. But you get the general gist of what I'm saying.
Well, if you're talking Doomsday, maybe it's like, you know, some radioactive bomb or whatever went off this tiger. His hand legs and his little claws can like grab an axe.
Okay. I learned to use an axe and speak. But yeah, it's like I like the idea of being able to, at a whim, be in control of what I want to have a look at.
You know what? Like, I'm also kind of a hypocrite because I like owning books.
Right.
Like, exactly. I love owning books.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, I don't like the idea that they re-release all these PS2 games and shit like that because people do want to play these old things at some point. And I'd rather have access to that old stuff that I bought once than be a chance to buy it again in the future.
Right.
Yeah. It's like the sale aspect of digital stuff is cool.
Yeah.
Especially like on nowadays, like the PSN and Xbox sales are good. The Switch ones are not.
Mm.
But and Steam is obviously fucking super cheap a lot of the time.
Yes.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't know. Digital stuff, I try not to buy because I went through a period of just buying stuff
because
it was cheap and never got around to playing it.
Right.
I have a bit of a psychological thing where if I walk to the shop, buy the game, you know, put my card over for it, walk back, I'm kind of like immediately psychologically like more invested in it.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I'm like, I am going to leave my house now to get this game. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a process that'll take me like, what, an hour? And then like walking home going like, oh boy, I can't wait to, like, that was what I did with Hyrule Warriors, and it definitely, I was like really excited to like get home and like get stuck into it. Like, I knew I had a bit of time clear on the other. And there's just something about, even though you've got the ease of just getting on the shop and like clicking purchase and it just being there within an hour or however long it takes to download, it's just the
17
fact that it's
hours.
Just, you sit down and it just like click, it's there.
Yeah.
It's like that aspect of it. There's no substitute for that thing of like getting excited to go to the shops and get something, which for me is always going to be, just a bit more of a thrill.
Mm. Yeah. And this is sort of a separate thing, but something I saw a while ago and that I'd been thinking about is like all the digital stuff I've ever bought like on a sale, because like, oh, what a bargain.
Mm.
If I'd have never bought any of that stuff and only bought something that I was going to play right there and then, regardless of the price, still would have ended up paying net less probably than the money I've wasted on stuff that I've bought because it was a bargain that I never got around to.
Sure. That's the psychology of all sales, though, I think.
And that's what they want.
And do you know what?
That's
why the idea of some Netflix, like the Game Pass thing, done really well and with current releases is appealing, because it's kind of the best of both worlds.
Yeah, totally.
Where it's this digital thing that I wouldn't have as much of an attachment to because I'm just paying a rental fee for this service.
Sure, but you don't feel like you're getting, and you're not getting ripped off.
Exactly. If it's like $15 a month or whatever, like Netflix, then awesome.
Yeah.
Sign me up, because it's, I think it's just the cost of a video game that I've never bought a, I have, but I don't like buying physical releases of movies
because
they're a fucking waste of money.
Yeah.
It's like $40.
Oh, there's no point
for a Blu-ray or something. And they don't even have the commentaries and all that stuff that DVDs used to have.
Yeah.
Usually. I always wait for them to be on a streaming thing.
Yeah, right.
Or see them in a movie, because then you're getting the whole experience.
Yes.
I think that would be so common now, because they come out on streaming pretty quickly now too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we'll see that sea change with games as, away as well, where you're not spending this enormous amount of money for the digital versions of them, but it is also that general trend away from retail. In general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you answer a fucking question.
Well, I reckon
I misread that email. It said, how are you doing?
Come to Brazil. Well, I reckon we better wrap it up for this week, hey?
Yeah,
we got to one email. Send us in some more emails, though, because we obviously like them.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Guys, thanks very much for listening. Filthycasuals.com.au is where you can find the Bandcamp episodes that we do, the premium episodes. You can find links to our Patreon if you would like to support the show.
Tickets to the live show.
Bonus content live show coming up. What did I say? July 14 at the European Beer Cafe. Next week we'll have E3 predictions.
Yeah.
And we'll have our E3 episode after that. It's all happening.
Yeah, and then we'll have our E3. No?
Wrong order.
Another week first.
We'll
probably talk about like Detroit Become Human will be out by then.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then after that E3 predictions, then E3.
It's all happening.
Then then second E3 responses or something.
Yeah, like a more deep dive into E3, because there's obviously there better be a lot of stuff.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
So very exciting stuff. Follow
From
us
Microsoft
on
Microsoft in particular. I was picturing an Xbox in my head.
Yeah.
Follow us on all socials if you don't do so already, and we always love hearing from you guys. Thanks very much for listening, and as we say at the end here of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
kelp's not my bag, baby.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.